And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's a wild, wild world out there, and that's what we're here to tell you about. It is the Wildside News and the voice of the earth, and our voice keeps reaching around the world and getting new listeners. So today, we provide a sampler of the wonders of this planet, from presidents to parks to plants, just the other side of this short break. So get ready to take your pick from a great new show on a return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News, and now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Presidents, parks, and plants. What do they have in common? They all start with P, and each one ends in S. But you know, that's not enough to build a show around. No. There is more. And today, we build this show in reverse. That is, we start out with the show, then find out what we've learned, rather than have me tell you up front what you are about to learn. That is, after all, how life works. One day you show up on Earth, you stick your bare feet on the ground, you fall, you get up, you fall some more, and now, here you are, listening to me, with lots of other people. When you started out, did you have a plan or a synopsis? No. And yet, here now, everyone on the earth is spinning together, round and round and round, day after day, weeks turn into months, and still, we on the earth here spin together, year after year, and that's the way it's going to be for a very long time. We here in the U.S. hear about things around the planet that seem to affect us, things in Iraq and China most directly, although no matter how long we spin, we'll never catch up with them. That is, they are always exactly the same distance away every single day. We all think about our neighbors, the street, the houses, the trees, but they are spinning just like you. And they too generally are exactly the same distance from you, day in, day out, unless, of course, you're away from home, or they are. But late at night, when the neighbors are sleeping, you are all spinning together, locked into this personal geographic distribution of souls, spinning. What's amazing is that there are people in Paris right now who have been exactly the same distance away from you for years. And of course, there are people all over the earth, in Moscow and Beijing, Cleveland and Mozambique, who you have spent years and years being exactly the same distance away from. We are all locked into and onto this spinning planet, more tightly than we care to think about. Hopefully, nothing will ever smash into the earth and rock this rolling ride we call life on planet Earth, or we'd all fly out of kilter together. Since the Earth is about 26,000 miles in diameter, and it takes 24 hours to make one turn, that means you're traveling about 1,000 miles an hour, right now. We all are. We're all spinning towards a common destiny, and most of us are exactly the same distance from billions of others as we always are when we're at home. It's like a great big dorm house. We tend, for some reason, to ignore the spinning, because generally we don't feel or see it. At least, that's what we seem to think. But it's really easy for each of us to sense that spin in reality. Here's the easiest way I know to feel it. Next time you've finished your day, like today for example, I want you to take a few minutes to watch the sunset. It's a worthy thing to do almost any day. But this time, when the sun starts to disappear below the edge of the earth, I want you to hop on the planet, and as you watch, feel the earth turn. Because that is what's happening. You're watching the earth turn, spinning away from the sun, round and round, and then you continue your journey, spinning into evening, and then into the darkness of another night, you and your neighbors across the street and around the world, it's just another day. And now, the news. Regular listeners to the Wild Side News may be a little perplexed to hear so much talk about energy on our nature show. But there is a secret agenda that keeps spinning the energy news into the nature show, and that is that global warming, extraction of coal, oil, and gas leases on public lands, and the need to extract ever and greater resources to fuel the growing demands of a global society are leading to an out-of-control attack on the natural world. And so we continue. The Senate unveiled its latest draft of an energy bill this past week. After months of wrangling, the Energy Committee revealed certain provisions of their version of the energy bill recently passed by the House. The new Senate version focuses its attention on coal, electricity, hydrogen, and nuclear power plants. It does include provisions to direct the President to reduce U.S. oil demand by 1 million barrels a day by 2015. Now that's aggressive. Increase the U.S. emergency oil reserve from 700 million barrels to 1 million barrels. Impose reliability operating standards on utilities to protect against blackouts. Authorize $50 million, that's $50 million over 5 years, for rebates to consumers who buy energy-efficient appliances. And it extends tax credits to companies that generate electricity by wind, solar, and geothermal. However, 93% of the $8 billion in tax incentives go to oil and traditional energy industries. The struggle over Anwar's future has not yet been worked out. U.S. Representative Jay Inslee, a Democrat from Washington State, is preparing to introduce a new Apollo Energy Act, which will provide $49 billion in government loan guarantees for construction of clean energy generation facilities that will produce power from wind, solar, geothermal, biomass, oceans, coal with carbon sequestration technologies, and other sources. The legislation will also commit $10.5 billion to research and development investment tax credits for clean energy producing operations. In addition, it includes a 10-year extension of the current credit for electricity generated from clean sources. Inslee stated that making these clean energy sources cost-effective for citizens will require this type of bold infrastructure investment by the federal government. It seems this Apollo project concept is heading for the launch pad. The countdown is beginning. We are at 10 minus 9 years and counting. The decade of discovery is about to begin. And that's the news. Presidents, Parks, and Plants continues. I now want to deliver an open letter to President Bush. Dear Mr. President, I'm scared. And I don't want to be. I'm scared because when I look out, a lot of my friends are scared too. Oh, it's not like they are hiding in the basement, cringing. No, it's a brave, silent sort of scare, like when you think something bad is about to happen, but you don't want to let on that that's what you're feeling. But lots of people feel it. There's so much hostility and rancor. It's odd, it's strange. It just seems that the polarization is getting worse instead of better. And it just does not feel right. And it's not just here at home. It's all around the world. The bombings in Iraq kill more and more people each day. 7, 17, 31, 45, 68, 106, 200. Where does this escalation stop? And now a small obscure item in a Newsweek magazine throws thousands and thousands of Muslims into the streets and more people are killed. And then we hear it was a mistake or things are spinning out of control. As Americans, we just keep getting up each morning to face another day. Great news, we hear. The price of gas just dropped. Sign of better times, I guess. It's down 2 cents. Of course, it's up 100% since last year. I guess we should be thrilled. But this is getting really old. And then those of us who live in towns across America, who look on out at the distant hills or drive past the town parks or take a drive into the country on a weekend to find a little peace, we notice the way in which the trees are disappearing. The views from our picture windows that used to look out on our towns and fields are gone. Our vistas are being taken away with houses and developments almost everywhere. We notice it. And the hills in the distance, the trees are disappearing. There's holes in our forests where people now live, or where edges are thinned back, and we see it. And on our long journeys, we see the scars on the mountainsides, where the big forests are being logged. And we know that the roads you propose to go into those forests will lead to huge scars. We know it. It's getting to the point, in some places, that nothing is sacred any longer. And to many of us who feel the spirit of the land, who grew up loving America for its grandness and the way people seem to get along, it just seems to be disappearing. It is disappearing. It doesn't have to. So many of us see clearly a way to restore a hope for a United States of America. Oil. Why is it so important to keep pushing this country further and further to the edge when we all know, the whole world knows, that oil is killing us? But we know it's obvious why. But you are the president, and this is your last term. You have it within you to stand tall and lead, don't you? The other day, you addressed a gathering at a biodiesel fuel factory and delivered an energy speech. You talk of the need to get oil out of ANWR. You speak of nuclear. You say nuclear, but we understand. But the thing that was most confusing was when you said that we must help the Chinese and the Indian governments learn how to become more efficient users of oil, because that will help us. And I just froze. Let me quote you. It's in our economic interest, in our national interest, to help countries like India and China become more efficient users of oil. That would help take the pressure off global oil supply, take the pressure off prices here at home. Does it make any sense to offer help to other nations to become more efficient and therefore more competitive with America and less dependent on the world's oil reserves before you make that effort for us? Wouldn't a real leader make sure to do absolutely everything he could to help us first so that we can become freed from the world oil monopoly? Why would you want to help other nations achieve that objective before you help us achieve that objective? Oh, come on, help us. You could commit your full powers as president to harness the free energy that comes our way every single day from the sun and the wind and the waves. We need that now, Mr. President. You know, you have a thing with oil. We know it. But we're calling out, Mr. President, please stop. Your time is running out. But you know what? Our patience is too. And you know, we know. I'm scared. It reminds me of a movie from the 50s somewhere in Texas with kids in jalopies, crazy, goofy, out-of-control kids heading to the edge of town to play chicken. No one wanted to be chicken. It was a crazy game with life, a possible head-on collision. Stop now. Help. Lead. Come on, Mr. President. It's not funny.